Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so very much for holding on. I hope that you are enjoying the program, and I hope you're getting some good information. We didn't give enough what I call solutions, but to be perfectly honest, sometimes I don't know the solutions, except we just talking about going back to the first or second hour, all the critical things that are happening to us in this country. I could just say hit your knees and pray is all I can say, because that's all we can do right now. With that, we're transitioning to the third hour, and we got the bitter ender, the professor, the general, the fighter, the guerrilla warfare fighter behind the lines. You know, we can't complain, because he does his job of getting rid of killing these Yankees, Antifa. But it would be nice if he could get more mileage out of these swords. I think he's getting about 12 Yankees per sword now, because he'll even cut their gun barrel in two with these new titanium swords we got him, but they're very expensive. We have a fellow who's been working on a system. He thought maybe build a better sword or build a better weapon, because the bitter ender is so hard on these things. But anyway, that aside, the bitter ender himself, he's not going to be the warrior tonight. He's going to be the instructor, the college professor. So people, get in your seats and shut up. Get rid of your gun and don't be talking during class. With that, go ahead, Professor Bitter Ender. Or the Bitter Ender will cut your head off.
You're going to get ahead, me Bitter shot Ender. In class. That'll be one of these school shootings right now coming up.
Oh, that's right, the school shootings.
Probably deserved, too. We were talking before we went on the air with Eddie the Bummer Deer. No, it's Bummer Deer. I'm sorry. I misread the notes that Miss Lizzie gave me. I couldn't read it. She gave me the cue cards like they did for Biden. And I can't even read them and get it right. No, I tell you what, without Miss Lizzie, there wouldn't be a Blood River Radio. She
got that
is
right.
The stalwart and the linchpin for this operation, and we're so proud of her and so lucky to have her on board and getting everything
right.
Set up for us. So anyway, just kidding about that on the misreading her handwriting. What we would like to do tonight, we'd like to give you a book review on a book by Mike Grissom. It's called When the South Was Southern, Volume 2, and it contains a lot of pictures, old pictures of old buildings across the South and Southwest, back when these old buildings really had some class and character instead of these glass and steel boxes they stick up today. Pictures of old family, pictures of back when people were having to be sharecroppers just to survive in the South. And it has pictures of a lot of our monuments, and that's what we're going to concentrate on today. These monuments that were so important to the people of the South to recognize our young boys, that many of them gave their lives. 280,000 were killed during the war. About one in four Confederate soldiers were killed. And you think about some of the casualties we've taken in, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan. This is nothing compared to what the losses were during our war for independence. So with that being said, I'd like to just read some of the parts of it. He's a much better writer than I am a speaker, but I think you give an idea of what a great writer he is. And we're going to give out some information here on how our listeners can get some of these books. And so during the first or second segment, if they'll get a pen and paper or on their phone or whatever they take notes with, we'll give you these locations you can go to and get some of these books. And I guarantee you read three or four of Mike's books and you will be much better historian than the bitter ender is. If we had about 50 people out there reading some of Mike's books, I think 49 of them would be a better historian than I am. And we may have them take over the third hour. But with that being said,
I don't think that's the case. I think nobody can take your place, Bitter Ender. I tell you what, you don't sell yourself short.
Let me start out with the introduction to this book. And Mike tells us it's been said that one picture is worth 1,000 words. Volume 2 of When the South Was Southern is evidence of the veracity of that old maxim. One can talk about the past, write about the past, and sing about the past, but seeing the past is another whole dimension. Highly entertaining but equally instructive are these wonderful old photographs of Dixie when Dixie was ours. We of the Southern blood. It was our South, a South that revered its heroes, honored its flag, viewed its ladies as fair damsels, and held on to religiousness, which Richard Weaver describes as a difficult of explanation, a sense of the indestructible, and which leaves man convinced of the existence of a supernatural intelligence and power, and leaves him to the acceptance of life as a mystery. Weaver added that on the eve of the war in 1861, the South was one of the last religious people in the English-speaking world. Yet it was a South of a bygone era, a South that no longer exists, a South where chivalry made its last stand. Sadly, it lives only in memories of those of us old enough to remember when the South was actually Southern. Margaret Mitchell said it well, of course, in her novel, Gone with the Wind, when she wrote, "Look for it only in books, for it is no more than a dream remembered, as a civilization gone with the wind." So I think that will give you a pretty good idea of what we're going to be going over today. He said also in this introduction, it will be nothing short of a revelation to the younger generation to see that the South was indeed a place all of its own before it became a cookie-cutter landscape that it is today, where one can drive across the United States on the same interstate highways and find in the South the same fast food joints, the same shopping malls, and the same suburbs and high-rise housing developments that one finds in any section of the country. Where once flew the Confederate flag atop county courthouses, where Confederate monuments dotted the landscape, and where one could find a friendly Southern drawl in nearly any corner of the South of today bears little resemblance to the South of years past. Numbered among its crimes were no school shootings, no carjackings, no convenience store robberies, no rioting, no looting, no drive-by shootings, no drug distribution. It was a land where people rarely locked their doors, where neighborhoods were safe, where churches were usually full on Sundays, where a man's word was his bond, where womanhood was protected, where schools were safe places and children were allowed to play and grow in the innocence of childhood. It was a land of hard work and good times. So that was his introduction to this book. And we will skip on over to the back section a little bit and give you some of the information of what has happened. And the last, I'd say 30 or 40 pages in this book, When the South Was Southern, Volume 2, it now goes through and has a picture of these monuments of our heroes that have been deliberately and viciously and cowardly torn down. The one they start off with is the statue in New Orleans, put up in 1938, the equestrian statue of General Pierre Gustave Toutant Beauregard. Now there's a French name for you. At the intersection of Carrollton and Appalachian Avenues. That's the work of Alexander Doyle, one of America's premier sculptors, and was unveiled in 1915 at Beauregard Circle, located at the main entrance to the city park. The statue was added to the National Register of Historic Places in February 18, 1999, but on June 14, 2015, a radical white mayor, after seeking advice from a black trumpet player, decided it was an advantage to his political career to call for the removal of all Confederate statues in the city of New Orleans. The Beauregard statue was removed on May 17, 2017, along with the Liberty Monument and the statues of Robert E. Lee and Jefferson Davis. The Beauregard statue was thrown into the city dump to lie there in the dump among trash and old tires. Even the lieutenant governor of the state of Louisiana was not allowed to redeem the statues. Beauvoir, home of Jefferson Davis on the Mississippi Gulf, requested the statue of Davis, but it was turned down. The cultural cleansing of another southern city was now complete. And that applies to New Orleans. And the thing that always gets me about this, you have these black civil rights leaders or cultural leaders or whatever they want to title themselves, and they claim, oh, we have to remove these statues to bring our community together. Well, you don't bring people together by destroying the history,
quick break,
you drive
Gene.
Them apart. We go into the break, we'll be right back.
Gotta go to a quick break. Be right back, folks.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep, and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
This is Attorney Jason Rupp, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
Let me tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this is Gene is doing a tremendous job. He really is. I'll have to say this. It is so sad what he's bringing to light, but it's we need to know what's happened to this country in the South. It illustrates that these people that are in the government, you have no idea how much they hate you for being white, and they double down hate you for being Southern. With that, it's sad, Gene, but we need to hear. Go ahead, Bitter Ender.
Well, we were talking during the break. It's almost impossible to stand up and pledge to the flag of our enemies that have done so much to destroy our section of the country. Most of the time at the SCV meetings, I don't know why they have a say it, the pledge to the Yankee flag, the enemy flag, flag of occupation, whatever you want to call it. I stand on the back row, and I don't want to make an issue or a scene or anything like that. I just will not say it. Because one nation indivisible, like it was all wrong that we tried to divide the country and leave. You know, we weren't trying to overthrow the U.S. government. They said all along, you elected Lincoln, you got him, you keep him. We just want out of here. It's been fun and it's been real, but it ain't been real fun. So that was what President Jefferson Davis said. He said, we seek no conquest nor aggrandizement. All that we ask is that we be left alone. And how prophetic was that, and what a brilliant statement for a peaceful starting of a country. You know, we didn't storm the Bastille like the French did. We didn't murder the Tsar and his family like the Russian Revolution. And heck, even like the first revolution here, we didn't dump tea in the harbor. All we said was, we just want to leave. But that wasn't allowed. So anyway, we'll go back to our pictures and explanation. Another one they have is the Confederate monument and Confederate cemetery or graves at Magnolia Cemetery in Charleston. I was there for the burial of the Hunley crew once they found the Confederate submarine, the Hunley, and raised it and got the eight bodies out of there. They had a very, very emotional funeral procession from down at the Battery up about 4 or 5 miles to Magnolia Cemetery. And there were probably 8,000 to 10,000 people in that funeral procession. And most of them were in uniform, and the ladies were wearing the black mourning dresses. And then they had the burial ceremony at Magnolia Cemetery. And they were next to one of the other Hunley crews, and Horace Hunley from Gallatin, Tennessee, who designed and built the Hunley, the submarine, which was named after him after he died in a test run with the submarine. It was, instead of a diving torpedo boat, then it was called the CSS Hunley after that.
He was from Gallatin, Gene? He was from Gallatin? Wow.
He had moved to New Orleans and made a lot of money in the shipping industry in New Orleans. And when New Orleans was about to fall to Farragut's fleet, he took all his plans and went over to Mobile, and the Hunley, the submarine, was actually built in Mobile. And then it looked like Charleston was about to fall, so they loaded this thing on a railroad flat car and took it over to Charleston. And they had one crew that died in a test dive, and then Hunley and the second crew died in a test dive, drowned in the thing. And believe it or not, they recruited a third crew to go in this thing, and it was successful in sinking the USS Housatonic, February 17th, 1864. And it was hand-powered. They had a crankshaft in it, and you had to sit in this thing and crank the crankshaft. And they went out 3 miles into the Atlantic and rammed an explosive charge into the hull of the USS Housatonic. It blew up, and the Housatonic sank. And for years, they thought the Hunley went down with it. And then Clive Cussler, that writes a lot of these maritime novels about shipwrecks and got a diary of a Confederate soldier, and said, we saw the blue calcium lantern, we saw the blue calcium lantern from the Hunley. So we lit the lighthouse for them to come back in so they wouldn't run it aground on the beach. But the Hunley never came back. So they figured out for 100 years they've been looking too far out in the ocean, started looking in closer to the shore and found the Hunley, and then got the money together and had it raised, and then had this burial ceremony for the crew. So if you ever go to Charleston, Magnolia Cemetery, you can see the two groups of Confederate soldiers that are crew members of the Hunley. Confederate Cemetery at Magnolia. The first soldier to be interred in the Confederate Cemetery at Magnolia was T.F. Brown of the 2nd South Carolina Infantry, who died on July 16th, 1861. And the last burials occurred on February 24th, 1865, when six unknown soldiers were buried shortly after the Union occupation of Charleston. Some were buried in 1866, and casualties of Gettysburg were reinterred there in 1871, and brought the total to 725. In 1999 and 2005, 47 bodies of soldiers, sailors, and Marines were recovered from under the football stadium at the Citadel and reinterred, bringing the total number of Confederate graves in Magnolia Cemetery to 772.
Wow.
Henry Timrod, a Charleston poet who was posthumously labeled by Alfred Lord Tennyson the Poet Laureate of the South, composed an ode to be read at Confederate cemetery dedications, and just read you the last stanza of that. And this is the one that they usually read at Confederate memorial service. It says, "Stoop, angels, hither from the skies. There's no holier spot of ground than where defeated valor lies." So that's on the monument there in the cemetery in Charleston. Now, before we get too far carried away here, I'd like to tell our listeners how to get in touch with Mike and order some of these books. Not only this one, but his premier book that he started out with was Southern by the Grace of God. And if you get a copy of that and read all the facts in there that set the lies and propaganda and misinformation straight, you will be ready to defend the South in any kind of debate, TV show, harassment by some news nerd that's sticking a microphone in your face. You can make them look like absolute fools. So it's Southern by the Grace of God. The other one that he's come out with recently is a Southern Book of Quotes. And Mike said if you go to Bartlett's famous quotations, all of them are from the Northeast, you know, Tennyson, Thoreau, and all of the Yankee poets, Longfellow, all the Yankee poets. And, of course, it's Lincoln, 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 Lincoln. But this book is all Southerners. And it starts with the Constitution Convention and what was actually said and what they actually wanted in the Constitution that we've gotten so far from, away from today. And then it's set up chronologically, goes through the war and quotes from Lee and Stonewall Jackson, Patrick Claiborne, Forrest, and even comes up to modern times and quotes from Elvis and Minnie Pearl and Will Rogers. So it's a great book, and it's really interesting to just flip it open and read anywhere. You don't have to start at chapter one and go all the way to end, find out who done it. So it's a Southern Book of Quotes. And then this one, When the South Was Southern. Now, you can go to his publishing company, which is Little Dixie Publishing. And he said you can make it all lowercase, or you can capitalize the L in litter and the in little, or the D in Dixie, or the P in publishing. So it's littledixiepublishing@gmail.com. And that will give you a direct link to all of his books. Now, this book we're talking about today was published by Lulu.com, L-U-L-U. Lulu.com. That's another company that's done a lot of his publishing. And we'll give that out to you in the last segment if you need to write it down. Okay, this is probably the worst of all of them. This was the destruction of Monument Avenue in Richmond. It's really a tragedy with what they've done with that. The impressive Lee statue at Lee Circle, as it looked in this photograph 130 years ago, it was described, the scene of the unveiling on May 29th, 1990. General Early, Jubal Early, gave a passionate speech in honor of Lee. The sheet covering the statue was then pulled down, provoking indescribable enthusiasm. Hurrahs and deafening cries rang out, while drums, music, and cannons roared loud enough to burst eardrums. Anyone would have believed that the South was going to come back to life, and who actually knows if it were really dead. This was Richmond's statue, its tribute to the man who embodied the ideas of Southern of the South failed quest for independence. Douglas Southall Freeman, winner of the Pulitzer Prize for his four-volume work, R.E. Lee, a biography, and editor of the Richmond's largest newspaper, the Richmond News Leader, drove to his newspaper office every morning, saluting Robert Lee's statue as he passed. But winds of sorrow began to blow. Richmond's large black population, goaded by their reverends and political demagogues, had begun calling for the destruction of the monument. By 2020, young white vandals joined blacks in defacing the monument by painting vulgarities on its base. At the same time, CNN discovered in a 1984 yearbook picture of then Governor Ralph Northam, with a picture of him and two of his classmates, one in blackface and one dressed in a KKK outfit. He committed the unpardonable sin. Fearing for his political future, Northam tried to placate blacks by joining the chorus to destroy the Lee Monument. And they did. Richmond's black mayor could find no white contractors willing to destroy the Lee Monument. So he hired a black contractor who was ever eager to dismantle it. And we'll go on to our next segment right after the break.
That's awfully sad, Gene. Be right back, folks.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
news this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. In Tel Aviv's hostage square, resident Mayan Elassi says she has been restless waiting to see the remaining hostages released.
I'm here because I couldn't sleep all night. It's been a few nights that we can't sleep. We want them back, and we feel that everything is just hanging on a thread, and I can't heal. None of us can. I feel that I just cannot breathe anymore. I can't proceed with my life since that happened. I need them back.
President Trump told reporters Friday he hasn't canceled a meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping planned for late October in South Korea.
No, I haven't canceled.
So, but I don't know that we're going to have it, but I'm going to be there regardless, so I would assume we might have it. But, they hit the world with something that really is not anything that people are going to do.
Most members of the Federal Reserve's interest rate setting committee supported further reductions to its key interest rate this year. Correspondent Ed Donahue reports.
Minutes from last month's meeting show a majority of Fed officials feel there is a greater chance unemployment would rise and the risk of rising inflation diminished or not increased. Only one official formally dissented from the quarter point rate cut in September, Stephen Miron, who was appointed by President Trump. He wanted a bigger cut. But the minutes underscore the deep division on the committee between those who feel the Fed's short-term rate is too high and weighing on the economy and those who point to persistent inflation as a reason to remain cautious. Ed Donahue, Washington.
President Trump said today his administration has found a way to pay troops during the federal government shutdown. He posted on social media that he's using his authority to direct Secretary of War Pete Hegseth to use all available funds to pay the troops on October the 15th. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In today's fast-paced world, professionals face endless projects, deadlines, competition. To thrive, you need mental clarity, sharp focus, and reliable memory. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor created Think Factor. Boy, am I glad to tell you about Think Factor. It's been a game changer in my life. It's designed to help us all think clearer and perform better daily. A powerful blend of nutrients that supercharges your memory and sharpens your focus so you can stay on top of your work and outshine the competition. It has been a game changer for me. After a few weeks of taking Think Factor, I have never had such clarity and focus or memory. If you've ever felt mentally foggy or struggled to keep up with everything on your plate, Think Factor can help you reclaim your cognitive edge and thrive. Call 800-4-RELIEF, 800, the number 4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to order Think Factor. It's called Think Factor. Call 800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. Your first bottle is just $19.95. Think Factor. Think clearer, perform better daily.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
the smell of napalm in the morning. It smelled like victory.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I've said this several times tonight, but I wish y'all could be in tune to what we talk about, me and Gene talk about during the breaks, but it makes me want to cry. I just wish they had some solutions to reverse what's happening to us in this country, but I don't as of right now, except, like I said, get on your knees and pray to God. But with that, I got to shut the hell up, and we'll go back to I know the Bitter Ender's got a long ways to go and a short time to get there, so I got to shut up and get out of his way. Go ahead, Bitter Ender.
We're talking about the destruction of the Lee Monument on Monument Avenue. And I've been to Monument Avenue. That was at one time one of the most beautiful streets in America. It was four lanes and had a parkway right down the middle, separating the two lanes from either side. And each circle had a traffic circle, and each traffic circle had one of these huge monuments that were just overwhelming when you saw them. So we talked about the Lee statue. We said that the Richmond's black mayor could find no white contractors willing to destroy the Lee Monument. So he hired a black contractor who was ever so eager to dismantle it. As soon as the bronze statue was removed from the top of the pedestal, the black contractor bragged they'd cut off the horse's feet so the monument could never be used again. This masterpiece was destroyed by an angry black construction worker in an act of needless effrontery. The statue was transferred to some kind of black museum where it could be dismantled, melted, and featured in a derogatory fashion. So there, the Lee Circle is now, it features a community garden and basketball goals. The second monument to be constructed on Monument Avenue was a majestic Roman-style monument honoring Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy. Like the Lee Monument, the Jefferson Davis Monument was pictured in 1977 on the previous page, and got a picture of it, met the same fate at the hands of the black-dominated City Council of Richmond. At its base was a statue of President Jefferson Davis of the Confederacy. Several bronze plaques and stone engravings complete the elaborate monument. The statue of Davis was torn down by a violent mob on June the 10th, 2020. And the bronze statue at the top, the victory was of the monument, was removed by the city council 28 days later. The rest of the monument was destroyed in 2022. No trace of this beautiful work of art remains. It was gone. The other one, the fourth Confederate monument on Monument Avenue, was the next one. The third monument created on Monument Avenue was the new statue of General Jeb Stuart, head of Lee's Cavalry Corps in the Army of Northern Virginia. It was placed there in 1908. It was unveiled on June 3rd, 1907, the same day as the dedication of the Jefferson Davis Monument. The dual unveilings drew an estimated crowd of over 200,000, including 18,000 Confederate veterans who'd arrived early and camped out in Richmond for the week. This was their day, their time. They were here to pay their respects and shed their tears. On July 7th, 2020, a vindictive city council, following the black mayor's orders, had the Jeb Stuart Monument removed by the same black contractor that had destroyed the Lee Monument. In 2020, the pedestal that held the statue was removed, and no trace is left of Stuart's monument. The fourth Confederate monument on Monument Avenue was the imposing equestrian statue of General Thomas Stonewall Jackson, another Virginia native. It was unveiled on October 11, 1919, in a service attended by thousands, including the governor of Virginia and the grandson of Robert E. Lee, who spoke at the dedication. Pulling the rope to unveil the monument were Stonewall Jackson's granddaughter and the son of the sculptor, Frederick William Sivers. A parade of VMI cadets, National Guard soldiers, and school children had arrived at the site before the unveiling. On July 1st, 2020, Richmond's black mayor ordered the removal of all Confederate monuments, and the Jackson statue was removed that afternoon. So that's what we got from Richmond. They even took down the statue and the monument to Matthew Fontaine Murray, who is known as the Pathfinder of the Seas, and he was a Virginia native, but he served in the Confederate Navy. When the war broke out in 1861, being a Virginian, he naturally joined the Confederacy and became the envoy to England and France, where he tried to get several European powers to help stop the war. After the war, Murray accepted a teaching position at VMI, where in 1873 he passed away. And he's buried in Richmond's Hollywood Cemetery between Presidents James Monroe and John Tyler. His monument was constructed in 1829. And once again in 2020, the black mayor of Richmond ordered the monument destroyed, claiming it was a severe, immediate, and growing threat to public safety. It was replaced by a little garden patch complete with weeds.
You know what, Jim?
So that's what happened.
I'm going to chime in just for a minute. You really punched every button I got tonight. I've got to say this. These self-hating whites, these communist bastards, these Jews, these damn niggers that are attacking us and hate us because we're white, because we're Christian, especially because we're white Christians, none of them, especially those feral black niggers, none of them could carry the dirty underwear of any of our southern white heroes that you've been describing. You know what? They're a cancerous cyst on the ass of white humanity. They don't have the intellect. They did, never will. They don't have the courage. They don't have the veracity. They don't have anything. Like I say, I'll say it again. You know what? They couldn't be the groom of the stool. And in case people don't know what that is, the royalty people in England had the groom of the stool. They had these people paid to wipe their ass, to wipe the ass of these damn feral bastards. They don't deserve. They couldn't be the groom of the stool. They were not good enough to wipe the ass of our worst southern hero that we have. They're worthless. They couldn't carry the dirty underwear. The piece of sorry shit. And I'm sorry I interrupted you, Gene. I'm just carrying away. That just pisses me off so bad.
That's why they want these monuments destroyed. Most of these people, all they're good for is robbing convenience stores and drive-by shootings and selling drugs out in the parking lot. They could never attain the intellect, the courage on the battlefield, the leadership qualities that people like Lee and Forrest and Jackson and Jeb Stuart and President Davis had. So rather than try to pull himself up out of the sewer where they live, it's a lot easier to have the examples that we've had all over the South torn down.
Yes.
So school children and our generations, next generation, and then our grandchildren, and then great-grandchildren, and so forth coming along, they'll have no idea what real people were like. Oh, real people are like sponge square bob pants that we see on TV or something like that. Those are real people.
You're right.
That's who I want to be like.
They never create anything. They never produce anything. They just tear. All they're good for is to tear down. And they, you know what? They know they're stupid. They know they're not good as good as white people. They know they couldn't possibly live up to people like Lee and Jackson and General Forrest. They know they're inferior, and so they hate us so bad for that. So they're determined to tear down what our people have created. I'm shutting up. I'm getting out of the way again. I'm getting out of hand. I'm sorry, Gene.
All right. The last one we're going to cover is the Reconciliation Monument in Arlington Cemetery and how horrible that was, what they did. And our own politicians double-crossed us on that one. The Spanish-American War of 1898 was the first war against a foreign power in which Americans from the South had participated as U.S. soldiers since before the war between the states. At the end of the Spanish-American War, President McKinley made a 2,000-mile trip through the Deep South, promoting reconciliation between the two sections. It was in these speeches to the Southern audiences that he announced that the federal government would begin tending to Confederate graves because Confederate dead represent a tribute to American valor in Arlington Cemetery. And the reburials began in April of 1901 and were completed by October the same year. Subsequent legislature allowed Confederate veterans to be buried in the Confederate circle. The center of the circle gave a system of grassy areas surrounded by a circular path. Now, this is what they wanted to raise there. they wanted to put up a monument for the reconciliation of the two countries coming together. And this is what was designed and built by Moses Ezekiel. He was a sculptor. And Moses Ezekiel was the first Jewish cadet at Virginia Military Institute in Lexington, Virginia. And we'll tell you what happened to him and what happened to the monument on our last segment. And I will give the information on ordering books when we start the last segment.
Yo, don't want to get that. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. I got to say one more inflammatory thing. The only statue that I disagree with that I don't like that Gene mentioned was the reconciliation statue. I don't want to be reconciled with those sons of bitches. I want to either get rid of them or us get rid of us. I have nothing in common with them. I don't want to be friends with them. I don't want to get along with them. They have to be defeated. We cannot get along with those sons of bitches. Either we have to go or they have to go, one way or the other. We have to have our own nation, our own white Christian Southern type nation, or we can't survive. Anyway, I'm going to shut up and get the hell out of the way for sure. Go ahead, Bitter Ender.
Well, the statue was originally named the Confederate Memorial Statue for the Confederate section in Arlington Cemetery. And since then, it's been termed the Reconciliation Monument, and we're going to explain why, because U.S. President spoke there at the dedication. So Moses Ezekiel, as we said, was a sergeant of Company C, a battalion of cadets of the Virginia Military Institute, and in May of 1864, he and 246 other cadets from VMI marched north of the Valley Turnpike to help General Breckinridge defeat a larger Union force at New Market, Virginia. And while living in Rome, and he was a sculptor, himself a Confederate expatriate and proud Southerner, the Confederate battle flag hung in his Rome studio for 40 years. So he never turned his back on the South and did all of these sculptures around the South. He did one at Johnson's Island for the Confederate cemetery there where they murdered our prisoners at the prisoner of war camp in Johnson Island up there in Ohio, and Moses Ezekiel did that statue as well. So one more time, let's give this information out to our listeners. If you want to order some of Mike's books, it's littledixiepublishing@gmail.com. And Mike said you can have them all lowercase or you can capitalize Little Dixie in publishing. Or this book comes through Lulu, L-U-L-U-L-U-L-U, easy for y'all to say, .com. And you can get these ordered and really find out what happened. Now, during the rush to pass the National Defense Authorization Act in the summer and fall of 2020, it was loaded with anti-Confederate amendments. Nary a voice in opposition was heard in the halls of our wonderful U.S. Congress. Democrats were vocal in their support for renaming Southern military installations, while Republicans from the South were as silent as a tomb. Even later, after Congress learned that the head of the naming commission, this Ty Seidel or whatever his name is, and Lloyd Austin, who was head of the Army Chief of Staff, had added the Confederate monument in Arlington to their list of things they wanted to get rid of, to their wrecking ball, no significant protest was heard. Only after the removal was well underway did a tepid letter of opposition emerge, signed by 44 Southern congressmen. It merely stated their disapproval of the monument's removal. It was too little, too late. And they knew it, but perhaps they were angling for political cover in the next election. Finally, on June 13, 2024, one lone member of the House of Representatives, Andrew Clyde, Secretary of Defense to Clyde, a Republican representing Georgia's 9th District, introduced a bill requiring the Secretary of Defense to relocate the Confederate monument to its original position in Arlington National Cemetery. It failed in a roll call vote by 230-192. The only representatives voting aye were Republicans, but 24 of them voted with the Democrats to defeat the bill and get rid of the monument. So, backing up just a little bit, beginning with President Woodrow Wilson in 1914, almost every president of the United States has sent a wreath to the Confederate Memorial Day service in Arlington. The tradition was broken in 1949 by President Harry Truman, who failed to send a wreath again in 1950. After taking a lot of criticism, Truman resumed the tradition in 1951, and presidential wreaths continued to be sent for the next four decades. In 1990, President George Bush, refused to send a wreath. But President Clinton resumed the tradition by sending a wreath in 1993. And in 2023, of course, the government destroyed the monument. There's nothing there to send a wreath to. This unleashed, undated photo has here a lot of the United Daughters of the Confederacy, where they gathered, and the wreath sent by President Woodrow Wilson in 1919. So President Woodrow Wilson, President of the Yankee United States, gave the dedication speech, and some of the former presidents were there at the dedication of this monument. It's a beautiful sculpture. It was, anyway. It had metal engravings on a relief all the way around the bottom of the monument in a circle, and it showed Confederate soldiers. It showed black Confederate soldiers, which there were blacks in the Confederate Army. It showed Southern civilians, a lady holding her baby, and her husband getting ready to kiss her because he was going off to the war. Really a beautiful sculpture. And the interesting thing about it, Moses Ezekiel came back to Lexington after the war and trying to figure out, he had some artistic talent and really didn't know how to do it. So he went across campus and spoke to the president of Washington University, which is pretty much shares the campus with VMI. The president of Washington University was Robert E. Lee. And Robert E. Lee encouraged him, if you want to learn how to be a sculptor, you need to go to Europe and study under the masters, which is what he did. and repaid the advice of Robert E. Lee by doing these Confederate sculptures all over the country. So that was the tie-in with Lee and the Arlington Monument and the sculptor Moses Ezekiel. And then he, when he was buried, he requested to be buried at the base of that monument, and he his grave is there today. And they, when they got rid of the monument, they ran these big giant cranes over the Confederate graves and squashed them. God, I don't know if they destroyed Moses Ezekiel's grave or not, but they certainly made a mess out of that part of Arlington Cemetery. And that's another thing. You said you don't want to say the pledge to the Yankee flag. I don't either, because of what they've done to us. Why would we pledge to somebody that hates us so much and has done so much to our country, our section of the country? The other thing is that we were talking about earlier is, you know, why would we, you know, all of us did this, volunteer to defend a country that hates us? And I was not drafted. I volunteered for the Marines in Vietnam. And looking back on it, I wonder, why did I do something like that when they're going to just destroy everything we have in the South?
Well, you were young, and you didn't know. I mean, you didn't have the wisdom you have now, Gene. None of us did.
It wasn't that bad back then. Every fire support base where I was in Vietnam was flying Confederate flags. Now, they had state flags, and they had some U.S. flags. But it wasn't looked on as something to offend anybody. They felt like these Southern boys are over here laying their life on the line.
Yes.
Let them fly their flag. That's what they like. That's a symbol of the South. And they're out humping the hills and going on these patrols and standing on lines at night. Let them have their flag. So all of that's changed now. Trump vetoed the order to have this taken down and the names renaming the military bases. But, of course, his veto was overridden. And they have renamed the bases. Pete Hegseth has done that. They put Lee and Bragg and Hood, all the names back. But they weren't the original. John Bell Hood, Robert E. Lee, A.P. Hill, Colonel Benning, Braxton Bragg. They got somebody else that had the same last name that was in the U.S. Army. And I think Fort Lee, Virginia, is named after Rolando Ebalisto Lee or something like that. But it's, you know, they got Fort Lee on the front entrance there, but it's not the same person. So anyway, this is, you know, the country we live in. They hate us. They want us to be just sharecroppers on their giant farm here, the U.S. of A., and keep your mouth shut and don't speak up. Just like they told us not to speak up at Charlottesville, if we went there to protest the removal of the General Lee statue in Lee Park, a Virginian in Virginia, we thought that was a no-brainer to speak up there. But the rat that was the mayor of Charlottesville, Virginia, and his DEI, low-IQ police chief, told their police, don't do anything. Let Antifa take care of these people. And if you remember this, we got attacked two blocks away from Lee Park. We had to fight our way into the park. And then the only time the cops did anything is they put on their Darth Vader helmets and their shields and pushed us out of the park into that mob on Market Street, where we had to fight our way three or four blocks up the hill there to get back to the parking garage and get the hell out of there. So that's what we've got today.
Our government hates us with a hatred that's just can't be measured. I told people about going to a so-called Southern Baptist church the other day, a Bellevue Baptist church. Is the same way the churches have been infiltrated as bad as the government. We're hated, the most hated species on the face of the earth, white Southern males. Well, that's it. Thank you so much, Peter Endre, for coming in. Thank you, Bug River Radio family, for keeping us listening, keeping us on the air. And God willing, we'll see y'all same time, same place next week. It'll be the 18th of October. Well, this month will be halfway gone then. Thank you again, Gene, for coming on, brother. You're amazing. You certainly are. And thank you, Miss Teenage America, for running this board flawlessly like you did. And well, good night, everybody.